Welcome to Westport Road Baptist Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us for today's message. Westport Road Baptist Church is located at the corner of Hurstbourne Lane and Westport Road in Louisville, Kentucky. If you have a Bible, please have it handy and prepare your heart and mind as our pastor, Chip Pendleton, brings us the Word of God.
Amen. Well, we come to the end of our sermon series on Rethink. And so we have rethought a lot of different things, from money to marriage to evil to a lot of things in between. Now we come to death. So some people have been asking me this week, so how do we rethink death? And what does it change if we rethink death? Because in the end, we still die, right? So no matter what we think about death, we are still going to die. But Jesus, interesting enough, during his earthly ministry, when he comes to a point in his ministry, he begins to speak a lot about his own death to his disciples. He begins to teach them a lot. And so we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, looking at verses 21 through 27. And in verse 21, Jesus says to this, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life." So very summary statement here about Jesus' ministry, and in particular, as he makes his way to Good Friday, and ultimately to the resurrection. Jesus clearly wants his disciples to know, hey, this is what is going on. This is what is happening. Now, what it says earlier, from that time on, the key point here of what just has happened is Peter has this revelation and realization and this confession that, in fact, Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It's one of the great confessions of all of human history to confess Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And here then it flips, and Jesus says, hey, I'm going to die, and I'm going to be raised to life. Now, when Jesus comes to his own death, he embraces his own death. It's a part of his purpose, and it's a part of his plan. It's the reason that he has come. It's a part of his gospel ministry. The good news involves his death. And so Jesus doesn't shy away from his death, but he clearly wants the disciples to know, hey, don't miss this. This is what is happening. You know, it's funny if you would think through, if you ever walk through a cemetery, sometimes people try to be clever on their tombstone. They want to send a parting message to their friends, to their family. You'll have some, he lived, he died, you know, and that was it. But for others, they wanted to leave more than that. The voiceover actress Mel Blanc, he was the voice of Bugs Bunny, Elmer Fudd, Speedy Gonzalez, a whole host of them. And his line was, "That's all, folks." And so he decided to put that on his tombstone. "That's all, folks. It's over." Merv Griffin was in show business, and his big line was, "We'll be back right after these messages." If you remember that from TV, so he put on his, "I will not be right back after this message," because he has died. The Leslie Nielsen, the comedian, he had a phrase he'd always say, "Let her rip," in his comedy acts, and so he decided to let her rip on his tombstone. I don't know who John Yeast is, but I can appreciate John Yeast. He said, "Pardon me for not rising." There was one other picture I forgot to send in, but there was a gentleman in New Jersey who was sick, and his family didn't believe he was sick. So the week before he died, he actually ordered his tombstone. He said, "I was really sick." And so in New Jersey, that's what he put on there. Now, Jesus, we know, was only dead for 3 days, so he didn't get long enough for his own tombstone. But he's clearly trying to send a message to his disciples. Let's go back, if we can, Jim, to verse 21 there. He wants them to know this. He has to go to Jerusalem. He's going to suffer many things, and that he must be killed, and on the third day rise again. Well, this is just shocking, right, to the disciples. They can't fathom that. There's no cross in their meeting areas, right? Like, they weren't celebrating the cross in their gathering points. We live on the other side of what we know what happened with Jesus on the cross. And so Peter, who has just had this great confession, takes Jesus aside and begins to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." And he says that in verse number 22. Now, I admire Peter here for being bold enough to confess that Jesus is the Messiah. But I'm sure there was a sense almost of, hey, I've got this figured out. I recognize that Jesus is the Messiah. I'm understanding the path and plan of God. But suddenly here, Jesus says to him, hey, I'm going to die. And Peter's like, no, that's not the plan. That can't be a part of the plan. Suffering, death cannot be a part of the plan of God that leads to glory. And he confronts Jesus about that. And I think like Peter, we can have wrong views of death. Now, not just death, but to expand that, we can have wrong views about when the path of God for our life involves death, pain, suffering, and loss. I too have argued many times with God when I didn't like the path that was ahead of me that involved death, pain, suffering, and loss. Because God is a good God, created a good world, he spoke it into existence. He's powerful enough to handle and prevent death and loss, pain, and suffering. And yet, in our human existence and experience, there are moments that the path and plan of God involves that. And I too want to say to God, like Peter, no, this should never be. A few weeks ago, I was called to a room of an adolescent, and her father had been killed in an auto accident. She was in the car with her and also a younger sibling. And so her mother was on one side, and her boyfriend's mother was on the other side. And what they were trying to do was help her, but what they were saying to her was just not helpful at all. So, honey, I'm so sorry. God just needed more angels in heaven. Like, that is the most weirdest, awfulest thing you could ever tell someone, that somebody died because God needed more. We are not angels, right? And so, like, that is not even helpful. And I know we feel handicapped when it comes to unable to help people in that moment, but saying things like that's just not helpful. And she's processing grief, which she should. And there was just a holy hunch that I had grabbed just a little 3-inch wooden cross and I put it in my pocket, and I went in there and she looked at me and she screamed, "Why would God do this?" I pulled out the cross and I held it up to her, and she lunged and she grabbed it to her, and I said, "I don't know why, but I do take comfort that the same God who was with you in this moment was also there on that day we call Good Friday. And if we had been there that day, there is nothing that happened on that day, if we had just seen it from right there, that we would think was good." And I said, "I don't think we will ever call this day in your life good. I just don't think we'll ever look back and say this was a good day. But I take comfort that the same God who was there is also there with you." And she sat back, and in silence, she wept. And we sat in that grief to say, it's okay. God, I don't know why my path will involve pain, loss, and suffering. I would rather not go forward with that. But I can trust that your glory can be revealed in that. And the same is true for Peter there. Later in the Gospel of John, Jesus says these words to Peter, "Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Peter would learn that God's glory could come even through death. Now, we could spend the rest of the sermon on death. We could spend a whole sermon series on that, but that's not where our text goes. But I do want to recognize that in this room, there are many of you, I've connected with many of you, I've seen your prayer requests, that who are going through active grief in your life. The loss of a loved one, the diagnosis and illness, maybe job insecurity or loss of job, and there's a lot of grief tied to it, or you know somebody who is going through with that. You know, in the next two Wednesday nights in the fellowship hall at 6:30, I want to invite you to a class we're doing. It's called Mourning into Dancing, Turning Mourning into Dancing. And so this Wednesday night, we have a special speaker. His name is Rick Forrest. And Rick has been the chaplain at Norton Children's for 20 years. He used to be a former NPR host, and his voice, I could listen to him read about nothing. It would be just amazing voice. And he's going to come and talk a little bit about what grief is, How do you process through that? How's God revealed in that? How do you help somebody who's experiencing grief? And so join us this Wednesday night at 6:30, and we can go and give this some more proper time that it deserves, that I think you really would enjoy. It's a great place to invite a friend as well, and it will be streamed. I know some of you have asked that. Well, Jesus goes on in verse 23. It says, Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." I wish I could see Peter's face right now, right? You went from confessing Jesus is the Messiah, the high point, high confession, to now Jesus' words are, "Get behind me, Satan." Like, is there anything worse that Jesus could ever have called anybody in human history? Like, that is the nickname nobody would ever want to have, would be Satan, right? But Satan also meaning adversary. "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Peter's inability to recognize that God's glory could come through death actually put him in the way of God's plan moving forward. He became resistance, an obstacle, a stumbling block in the way and path of the movement of God. And it was here that Jesus directly confronts. He speaks to Peter here and says, hey, you're only thinking of human concerns and not recognizing and realizing that God's plan is so much bigger than what you could ever know or realize. And Isaiah says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts, God says, higher than your thoughts. There is a recognition here that we are the disciples, that he is the Lord, he is the master, he is the Savior. And we are called to trust him even in difficult circumstances. Friends, as Christians, we are those who take up our cross and we die to ourselves. There's no way around it. You can't be a Christian who doesn't take up your cross and deny yourself, take up your cross and follow. It's just not possible. And it's not just a one-time thing, but Jesus then turns this into a teaching moment, and he says in verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple, do you want to be a Christian today? Then these words apply to you and to me. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Those three action words we see there are to deny, to take up, and to follow. That's the rhythm of a Christian life, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow. In Luke's gospel, the word daily is actually to take up your cross daily and follow me. There's a rhythm to it. It's not just at our baptism we come up and we've confessed, we've denied ourselves, we've taken up our cross, and then now we make a confession, we follow Jesus. It's a daily occurrence. So I wonder what your week would look like this week if Monday, tomorrow, you woke up and you said, today I'm denying myself. It's not what I want, it's what God wants. I'm taking up my cross today, even when it's not easy. Even when that coworker annoys me, even when this thing happens to me, I'm going to take up my cross and I'm going to follow Jesus. And then what does Tuesday look like when you come up and say, I'm going to deny, I'm going to take up and follow? And then Wednesday, no matter what comes, to deny, to take up, to follow. And Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And when we gather again here next week, it may not have been an easy week. It may not have been the most fun week, but it will be a week that leads toward life because it's a week that's found in following Jesus. We reorient ourselves that it's a daily task to take up, deny, and follow. Friends, maybe some of you are trying to figure out what God's will for your life is today. Maybe you're asking these 30,000-foot questions, which are good to ask, but sometimes it's just the small steps. When you woke up today, our call was to deny ourselves today, to take up our cross today, to follow Jesus. And some of you may be in situations where you feel like, I did that yesterday. I'm tired. This situation in my life, this relationship, this financial difficulty, I just want it to be over. And it feels like every day I wake up and I'm asked to do the same thing, to deny, to take up, and to follow. The truth is, friends, that we are called to do it, and it isn't always easy, but Jesus will empower us. There is power when we deny, when we take up, and when we follow. We find from this next two verses we're going to read is that the kingdom of God is actually counterintuitive. It's not always what we would think at first is the right answer. Verse 25, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. The kingdom of God is counterintuitive. In 2 Corinthians, it says that Paul says that power came through weakness. We find out that comfort comes through mourning, joy comes through weeping, that the meek will inherit the earth, and that if you lose your life for Jesus' sake, you will find it. That doesn't quite feel like that should be the way it is. And that probably was some of Peter's difficulty. It was counterintuitive. It wasn't what he initially thought it would be. But that is the Jesus way. That is the Jesus walk of life. That if you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. You see, if our goal is to seek happiness first, what you will end up finding is that you aren't happy and that you also don't have Jesus. But if your goal is to seek God first, you will find life and you will find joy that is greater than what temporary happiness could be. Verse 26, he goes on, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? You know, if someone was to ask you today, would you give your eternal soul for the world? Would anybody really say yes? Maybe. I mean, you hear the stories where someone makes a deal with the devil and they're given some great gift in exchange for their soul. I mean, there are probably parts of us that would for fame or prestige or all of that. But if we were rationally thinking, will we give eternal with God forever for our for the world? We'd probably all say no here. But yet this decision is made in the daily decisions where we don't deny ourselves, where we take the easy road, where we cut the corner, when we go on our own path, that we begin to exchange our soul because we don't follow Jesus through denying, taking up, and through following. Verse 27 here, it says this, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Now, the statement here that Jesus makes says that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the one who's going to come in his Father's glory and is going to be the final judge. Now, this is the belief by which Peter could not understand that he had to die. Because Peter believed that Jesus was the Messiah, he believed that he was the one who was going to come in his Father's glory with the angels and to be the judge of everyone according to what he's done. This is the very belief that prevents him from understanding how death could even be a part of God's story. But it's important to note that Jesus is going to come again. This is central to our Christian belief. And sometimes when it's death and dying, we think about, yeah, we die and we go to be with God and then we live forever in heaven. But the belief is that Jesus is coming again and that he will rule over all, that he physically will come in the second coming. It's not some just nebulous, spiritual, somewhere out in the sky belief, but it's something tangible, physical, that God is the judge and that Jesus will come again. And then the second part of this is that then he will reward each person for what he has done. Now, as a child, this was a terrifying thought, right? God is the judge, and it should cause us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, it says in the New Testament. But there's a recognition that there is a final day of which God is our judge. Now, we know that perfect love casts out fear, that we have been saved, and his blood has washed us clean, and we have the righteousness of God in Christ. But there also is a truth here that we need to be circumspective about the way we live our life. Is the decisions we're making today, how will they stand the test of time on that day when God is our judge? Is the things that our life are about in this day, that will it matter on that day? And we can lose perspective so easy and get caught up in just the rat race day after day doing our own little thing, caught up in this the busyness of life, that we forget that there is that day. There is a judgment day of which we will be rewarded Reward can be good, though, right? Reward is a good thing. When you're rewarded for doing something well, that's an exciting thing. When you get a promotion at work or when you get maybe a bonus or something along the way, it feels good to be rewarded. How much more so on that day to hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But how do we live in this day in preparation for that day? Well, it goes back to what Jesus says. We deny ourselves, we take up our cross, and we follow him. And if we do that every single day, we'll have no regrets on that day because we will have lived a life of faithfulness, we'll have lived a life of devotion to the Lord and in preparation for that day. We'll have nothing to fear. And I imagine when you hear a sermon like this, for some of us, and many of us, including myself, we think about past regrets, and we think, I haven't always lived up to that day. Friends, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, but there is a call that today, pick up your cross, follow the Lord. Don't let your past keep you from doing what you should have done today. Don't let your fear of the future keep you from what you should be doing today. There's so much in your life that is out of your control. World events, stock markets, whatever, it's out of your control. But what you do have control of every day that says, as a Christian, as a follower of the Lord, I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to take up my cross, and I'm going to follow the Lord. Well, in Haiti, we have seen a country that's been decimated by gang violence, and in particular, in the country of city of Titayam, where we have had mission partnerships there for many years. And I think it's a beautiful example of the church there that our church helped to build. It's an example of where they are losing their life for the Lord, but they're actually finding it. You know, if this church was trying to save their life, when the gangs moved in, they had made demands over them, they wanted all these things from the church, they wanted to shut down, and the church said, no, we'll keep going forward. And every day they meet there under the toughness, the persecution of the gangs that are there. And as the church is standing faithful and not afraid to lose their life, they're finding life, and others are starting to find their life as well. Recently, two of the gang members just gave their life to Jesus. One of them actually was killed after giving their life to Jesus. But baptisms, as they're increasing here, are increasing there. The outreach to the elderly, they're actually now sending mission teams out to share the gospel. They talk about at the compound where the ministry was so compact here due to persecution, now they're spread over 6 different hours, and the ministry's going out in tough times. God's using it for his glory. But as they lose their life, God is doing some amazing things. The mother of the gang leader of the area just gave her life to Jesus and now is attending the church where Pastor Kelly is leader. This past Sunday, a week ago, the gang leader showed up to church with several of his security team. They did leave their weapons behind, but that made several of the members of the church nervous, as you can imagine. Kidnappings in church services have been common across Haiti. Also, mass robbery. Instead of passing the plate, they collect any money or jewelry that's present by church members. And so the church members were nervous there when they saw the gang leader and his entourage walk in, but they actively participated in part of the church. Cracked me up. The gang leader actually put money into the benevolence fund to support the people that he's oppressing, but, you know, there we go. But even as he was leaving, the gang leader asked a member of the church to pray for him. And I'm praying that God would save this gang leader's life. And I invite you to join me in that prayer as well. But you know, for this gang leader, he has a decision to make. Will he lose his life, literally, perhaps, to gain life in Christ? Or will he save his life and actually end up losing what is most important? You know, friends, your decision today may not feel as stark in this moment. You don't have the same geopolitical realities as they do in Haiti. But the question is just as central. Will you try to save your life? Will you try to pursue the likes? Will you try to pursue the positions, the prestige, the fame that will actually lead to your physical eternal death? Or will you surrender your life to Christ, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Jesus, and find life as you were meant to live both now and for all eternity? can find that as we die to self, we may live for Christ. Would you join me in prayer? Well, gracious God, I thank you that you take us seriously enough to tell us the truth. It would have been easy enough to just let Peter go on his way, but you corrected him. You put him back on the path of life. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are here today that perhaps their eyes are looking elsewhere to find life, that you would remind them that we are called to deny, to take up our cross, and to follow you, that that is the only place where life is found. Lord, I thank you that you love us. I thank you that you're called us according to your name. I thank you, Lord, that we are a gathering of a community. Now bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, during this response song, perhaps there's a cross that you feel like you've been hesitant to take up. But in this place, it can be a place of surrender to say yes to the Lord, to say, I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to take up my cross. I'm going to follow the Lord. You can do that right where you're seated. You're welcome to come forward for prayer. The altar is always open. And maybe you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you've put it off. Maybe you've thought about it. Make today the day that you die to yourself, that you may find life in Christ through believing and trusting in his work on the cross for you today. We'd invite you to come forward and love to connect with you. And if you feel God calling you to join this church, we would invite you to come forward too as we stand together and sing.
We hope you enjoyed today's lesson and that it spoke to you. If you have prayer needs or want more information about us, we invite you to stop by our website, mywrbc.org, and click on Contact. Please use the word podcast in the subject line. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, keyword MyWRBC. At Westport Road Baptist Church, we love God and love people. Please join us for Sunday morning service at either 9:30 a.m. or 11 a.m. We also have Sunday school for all ages during both service times. Thanks again for listening, and join us next week for another message from God's Word.